Just like the title says, then there were eight. I mean, we're down to the wire, and it's eight teams left. Who's going to come out on top?
Cowboys!
We got to delete that.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking Down the Tape. Playoff football, baby. We are 1 week in, as Hector said, and then there are eight. Let's do this thing. What a wild card weekend, man.
Well, first of all, I don't got the book with me right now. It's in the garage, but I do remember our predictions. If I'm right, I only got one wrong with the Chiefs the Jaguars game. I got that one wrong because they ended up winning against the who the fuck they just beat?
The Chargers.
The Chargers. We got that one wrong. But I think we aced everything else.
I think you might have aced everything else. I'm pretty sure I took Tampa over Dallas.
Yes, you did take Tampa over Dallas, and surprisingly I took Dallas and they didn't choke.
So, well, yes, you know what? We'll get there, but I do remember your reasoning and how you played that out. So let's see. You know, let's just get into it. Last Saturday, we had the Seahawks play the Niners. Obviously, the Niners won that division, interdivisional game, rubber band match. Well, not really, because the Niners beat them twice in the season. But, unfortunately, Seattle falls 23-41. We both predicted it.
The streak ends. And the sad part is they were in the lead, I mean, by one only, but in the lead going into halftime.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we thought that it was going to be – it was a game. I mean, 23-41 isn't indicative of how the whole game went. But the second half, you know, it was just all Niners. The second half, the defense was just too good. The offense really started going into their bag and started going off. It just
showed their youth.
Yeah.
I put it like that. They showed their youth. They showed that they're a rookie team that obviously a lot of people had them in the fucking trash bags for the whole season. That had a great season. They made a run. And they got the short end of the stick having to play the number one defense in the league.
Yeah, man. I mean, in years past, only teams would have made it to the playoffs, and the top two teams would have gotten a bye, so the Niners wouldn't have had to face the Seahawks. But then, conversely, the Seahawks wouldn't have made it in the playoffs. So that is one of those downsides of expanding the playoffs and taking away that second bye.
I would say, you know, first, congratulations to the Seahawks. You guys had a great season.
This was an unexpectedly successful season.
Yes, sure. And you guys are already built for next season and the future. Like, you guys have multiple draft picks in the draft. You guys have nothing but youth on your team. I mean, the only way is up from here. You give them experience, you build on that defense, and hopefully Geno can give you a repeat of what he showed this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only big question, you know. So all I was going to say about the game was just the Niners are who the Niners are. They are the strongest team in the NFC as of right now, in my opinion. You know,
but QB doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, no, most offensive positions don't fucking matter to them.
It's weird with the 49ers. Any other team, you know, for instance, the Jets, QB carousel, it goes berserk. Shit goes fucking sideways. With the 49ers, I feel like every position on their team, other than head coach and owner,
doesn't matter.
It's interchangeable. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's
a system built for certain players, and they all fit.
And the scheming is so good. As long as Kyle Shanahan doesn't have a ridiculous Super Bowl lead, he should be all right. Because let's not forget, that was Shanahan at the helm with Matt Ryan.
Don't give him that traumatizing experience again. Don't let him relive that.
Don't bring that up. To your point, though, you know, about the Seahawks, it really just comes down to that. If Geno can give you another solid year, you have the Broncos' first-round pick, which is what? Pick number five?
They have the fifth and the tenth?
And you just made the wild card game. You know what I mean? Like, you're set up great. You've got all these draft picks. Like you said, you've got, you know, K-9. You've got Tariq Woolen, Kobe Bryant. I mean, you're doing great in the world of youth. DK is not some old man. Tyler Lockett's getting up there, but he still sneakily produces. You've got the pieces there. You know, I really think that the Seahawks, depending on how they work this draft and free agency, could be a monster team next year.
And for the 49ers, like we said, I mean, they're a product of what the scheme and the coaches put together. Doesn't matter who's playing. I can almost guarantee they can pick up a hobo crackhead on the side of the street, say, play quarterback today, and they will throw up 50 points.
Yeah, and they'll be all right. No, for sure. For sure. Next, we've got Jacksonville versus Los Angeles. Oh, my fucking God. LA is up 27-0 at one point in the second quarter. Then the Jags come back. They score a touchdown before the half. And then that's all she wrote. The Jags come back and they win 31-30 on a last second field goal. Trevor Lawrence throws 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. I'm still standing on that. He sucks. You don't throw 4 interceptions and look great. I'm sorry. I don't care.
I just don't know. That game should have been like just a complete blowout. Like 27-0. At the end of that game, I'm firing the head coach, the OC, the DC. I'm stripping everybody in that. Everyone's gone. Everyone's gone. There's no way that you blow that lead.
Well, that's why I was talking in the chat. You know, the OC got fired. Should he have gotten fired? I agree. Yes. But only person to get fired? That's a scapegoat.
When all season and last season, multiple people, multiple sources, everyone's been saying Staley should go.
Staley is a problem, is an absolute problem. And the Chargers, I just have a feeling that we're going to do the same thing with the Chargers under Justin Herbert that we are with, that we did with Philip Rivers. Like, I just see this with way less children, but I just see this going the same way. Unfortunately, they're playing the Chiefs right now. I don't have confidence in them. I refuse to have confidence in them moving forward. But
I feel bad for Justin Herbert. Like, is there a curse on like the Chargers? Because like you said, we've seen it with Philip Rivers, who, and anyone can argue this with me, and I will gladly have that argument, who was in the time while he played during his career, top 5 quarterback pretty much every year, and just could not get the wins needed in the playoffs, and a lot of times couldn't get the win to push them into the playoffs, even though they had, you know, they'll end up 9-7, 10-6, or whatever. I think there's a curse on the Chargers.
Honestly, man, it's just one of those teams that is always one piece away. It's always right there. It's just can't yet. I don't know what it is. It doesn't seem to matter who the coach is. It doesn't seem to matter who the quarterback is. It doesn't seem to matter that they've had Hall of Fame tight ends, Hall of Fame running backs. Nothing seems to matter. And
if you can't win, if you can't get wins with LaDainian Tomlinson, Philip Rivers, Antonio Gates in their prime, who the fuck are you gonna get wins with Justin Herbert? I'm sorry. Like, as good as they are, I go back to that, and it's like it's the same fucking situation, same team, same situation. You got everything there, and yet you still manage to blow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've said it all year. We've never been fans of Brandon Staley. We said it last year, said it this year. So, I mean, personally, I think it's on him this go-round. But, I mean, when you just have so many years of the same bullshit with the Chargers, at what point do you just, like, start burning sage around the facility? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a big fucking astrology and fucking crystals person, but at this point, what
the hell? Yeah, I have no doubt that Justin Herbert will sign back with the Chargers. But I also have no doubt that before he signs with the Chargers, he is not stupid enough to not listen to offers other places.
You cannot, you know what I mean? Like,
if someone of a respectable team that actually needs a quarterback, I would run away from the Chargers in a heartbeat.
Yeah. You know, there's fans out there. Well, there's no loyalty to your teams. These teams have no loyalty to you. What? Let Justin Herbert throw fucking 2 first half touchdowns and 6 second half interceptions. Watch that happen and see how much they fucking cut him. Let him do that year after year after year and watch how fast they fucking cut his ass.
You kidding me? Let him tear an ACL or get a real bad injury. They're going to be replacing him in a heartbeat.
So don't talk to me about this. No loyalty. Go on, chase the money and run. What are we talking about? Who's that? Who do you blow fish? Chase the money and run.
The only sport I see where there's loyalty to the team is baseball. That's the only sport.
Even so,
like you said, even so, but that's the only sport where you can see players actually be loyal to the team. Look at Aaron Judge. Yep. He took hella money to go to San Fran or somewhere else. He was loyal to the team.
True that. And baseball is different than football. Baseball, even in career standing, careers are a marathon. Football, the average NFL career is 2.5 years long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, chase the money and run. Tomorrow is never guaranteed.
Positions.
Yeah. Then Sunday, we got Buffalo over Miami. Skylar Thompson starts for Miami. It's 34-31. We predicted this. But this was a football game. The Bills, and you know what? And don't catch me wrong, because Miami fans, look how Miami did. No, look how bad the Bills did.
That's exactly what happened. Terrible. The Bills played to the level of Miami. Miami did not play to the level of the Bills, because there is absolutely no way a third-string quarterback should have thrown up 31 points on the Bills.
The Bills had lost 4 turnovers, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles, total loss. They had 4 fumbles in total, but 2 of them lost. What are you, like, Josh Allen put the ball on the ground 3 times and threw 2 interceptions.
It was just not bad. It was a win to move forward, but it wasn't playoff Super Bowl Bills that we expect to see yet. That, I think we will see tomorrow.
Well, they need to. They need to, because you can't keep playing football like this and advance in the AFC. You could get away with it against the Dolphins. You can get away with it all the way to the Super Bowl in the NFC. You cannot do this in the AFC. You just simply cannot.
Maybe, like you said, maybe first round against Miami. You're not doing that against the Bengals. You're not doing that against the Chiefs.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, for me, that game was that simple. Miami played decent, given the fact that they didn't have their starter. But Buffalo,
honestly, if they had Tua, I actually believe it would have been a hell of a game and maybe an upset.
I'm sorry.
Because of how bad the Bills played the game, I think if Tua was put in instead of Skylar Thompson, it might have been an upset.
Hey, look, I'm not going to say Tua definitely would have outplayed Skyler, but you composed the question that the Bills, whether they'll admit it or not, did the 53 men who play this game take their mind off the game because they're like, it's the Dolphins and it's Skyler, so whatever.
True. And did they take
whereas
the foot off
they
the
had
half?
Tua, right.
They whereas,
that's what I'm saying. Like, did they relax? Did they take the foot off the gas? Whereas if they had Tua, they'd be like, nah, fuck this. We're going to go murder that kid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Regardless, the Bills move on. We get a 4:30 Kirk Cousins versus the New York Giants. And like we predicted, the Giants win. Played a hella good game. You know, at 24-31 isn't exactly a stretch of a game. It's a 7-point game. But the Giants at all points seemed completely and firmly in control of this game.
I think I predicted them only by 3. Cool that they won by 7. I just want to say, and you know what I'm about to say, put some damn respect on Danny Dimes' name. This man balled out, put the team on his back with Saquon Barkley, and they both single-handedly won this game for them.
I'll get there in a second. You know, you watch the game, you look at the stats, you look at whatever. Nobody had a bad – it's not like the Vikings set this game up. So, you know, if you're a Minnesota fan, you're like, the Vikings didn't play well. No, they did. It's just the Giants played better. The Giants finally broke the curse. And we've seen this, but we've seen this movie before. Wild card Giants are a completely different animal once they make the playoffs. I mean, we've seen them do stupid things like beat the undefeated Patriots. And yes, that is a team of old, but I believe DNA is a thing in the NFL, clearly. Daniel Jones, I'm not going to give him all the respect you think he deserves, but he did move the needle in a positive direction for me. I still think he is benefiting from a fantastic system, and I still think that it is more Dable than it is Jones, but he's hitting the passes you want him to hit. He's not turning the ball over. He's using his legs better than obviously defenses expect him to. I'm not at your level, but needle did move.
I will fight this to the day I die. And like I said, and like I've discussed in the chat and everything, pull up Jalen Hurts' stats, pull up Danny Dimes' stats for this season. They have almost exactly the same amount of stats. Danny Dimes has a better completion percentage on less attempts. I think he was short maybe 200 or 300 passing yards. Mind you, he had absolutely no receivers to throw to, while Jalen Hurts has Smith and Brown.
Now then that,
when you go to the mind you, he only with Brown and Smith only had 6 more passing touchdowns than Danny Dimes.
I can't believe you're dissing the Giants receiving corps. I mean, look at these household names.
Isaiah
Hodgins.
Don't you Darius do this.
Ricky do James, this. Daniel Bell. Those are household Hall of Fame names. What are you Get talking about?
So you're telling me with the Eagles having the team they have, that he only has 7 more passing touchdowns than Danny Dimes on just a few hundred more passing yards. Then let's look at the rushing attempts. Danny Dimes has like 50 less rushing attempts than Jalen Hurts for almost the exact same amount of yards. The only difference, Jalen Hurts has 7 extra rushing TDs because when they're in the red zone, they play Cam Newton football. With the Giants, they're protecting Danny Dimes, and they're like, we got a guy who can squat 700 pounds. Yeah, we're giving the ball to Saquon.
Yeah, as a warm-up. He squats 700 pounds as a warm-up. My man just comes in there, gives his legs a few slaps.
I'm going to fight. To me, Danny Dimes and Jalen Hurts is the same level. Same exact level. And I honestly, you give a real wide receiver to Danny Dimes, I'm putting Danny Dimes over Jalen Hurts.
If we just look at this
physically and talent wise, yes, Jalen Hurts is better. Look at this season, and not everything's about one person. It's about the team.
If we only look at one season, you have an argument. My argument for like Hurts or many other quarterbacks over Jones is the entire career body of work.
And I would still fight that because Danny Dimes had no stability. He's had 4 different coaches in 4 different seasons, and now he actually has a competent head coach.
I don't disagree with you, and I mean to your point and to my earlier point, Dable. You know, I mean, coached. You know, Josh Allen. What his first 2 seasons was like the biggest turnover quarterback ever, and then fucking Dable comes in and just magically whispers Josh Allen's problems away, and every year we talk about MVP and future Hall of Fame, and now we get to Daniel Jones and Brian Dable, and into the first year into the playoffs, Danny Dimes making an argument for being a good quarterback, and here we are, the Giants playing in the divisional round later on tonight.
Let's play the what if game real quick. What if the Giants beat the Eagles tonight? What if, and let's add a little bit more to make it more clear. What if the Giants beat the Eagles tonight and Danny Dimes balls out again the way he did last week?
Then I will tell you the needle keeps moving. If in a crazy world the Giants manage to win the Super Bowl and Daniel Jones continues to play well, I will begrudgingly admit he may be a good quarterback. And that's the best I will do by the end of this season.
That's rough. That's rough. All I want to say is that just put some respect on his man. He got a system behind him and a good confidence. And you know what? Dable might not be from New York, but that man fits like a New Yorker. That man is New York.
He fits like a Northwestern New Yorker. He's hitting Buffalo perfectly, absolutely perfectly right now. Now, the Giants are playing good football, and I will say, and I will give this, he is moving for Daniel Jones. Then we have Cincy Baltimore, 24-17, a close game, comes down to Tyler Huntley. In the end, it really comes down to Huntley, and now they track this being 0.6 yards away from a touchdown, just to have it returned the opposite way.
Literally, if it wasn't for that 98-yard return, if they kick a field goal, Baltimore might upset Cincy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got to think, that's a 14-point play right there. You know, for those of you, I know that some people might say that I'm stretching, but that is a 14-point touchdown return, because you not only stop the Ravens from scoring their seven, but you in turn put seven on your board. This is literally, it could have been the exact opposite score, the exact opposite way. Does that play not occur? You know?
And that's without Lamar Jackson.
That's without Lamar Jackson, you know. So before we even get into that situation, you know, Cincy again, you know, didn't ever look like they had control of this game. You know what I mean? They only scored in the second and the third quarters, whereas Baltimore put up points in every quarter. They played all right. They didn't play awful.
I feel like this was kind of like the twin of the Bills-Miami game. You expect Cincy to come in, no Lamar Jackson, the defense is a little shaky. You think Cincy's going to come in, put the pedal to the metal, and just fucking show what Cincy does in the playoffs like they did last year. And it's like I said, like those Miami, they let the foot off the gas, and they kind of went into the game like, we got this. No Lamar, defense shaky, and no problem. And it almost bit them in the ass.
Ain't that the truth? You know, and hopefully we'll get into the predictions in a minute. Hopefully we don't see that kind of lackadaisicalness against the Bills, because the Bills-Bengals has the opportunity to just absolutely explode.
This honestly might be the best matchup in the playoffs thus far, because obviously AFC champion matchup is going to be it's going to be Chiefs enter name here. Because yeah. Like we said, when we get to the predictions, I don't see the Chiefs losing. But
yeah,
when the playoffs kicked off, I said it before, I wish the Jags had played the Bills and the Bengals had played the Chiefs, because I think that would be a better match. One, I want the Bills to win a Super Bowl. I predicted them to win this Super Bowl. But it would be better matchup, because right now you kind of like open the floodgates for the Chiefs to just walk into the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But you play the Bengals, who you still haven't beaten with Joe Burr. Joe mm-hmm. Burr beats you again, and then it's Bengals-Bills AFC. That would have been fire.
Mm-hmm. That would have been the back-to-back AFC gun shows that everybody was begging to see. You know, but and moving forward, yeah, the Bengals, they need – it's going to – hopefully going to be a gun show tomorrow night. It has every potential of being, and I agree with you on what I wish would have happened as well. Baltimore, I mean, what, 20 minutes after the game, J.K. Dobbins comes out and says, well, if Lamar was our quarterback, we would have won that.
I mean, what a team player, right?
Yeah.
What a team player, right? And like, how do you make Hunt, like, how do you make the quarterback who went out there and actually played for you, who also was hurt but was willing to risk it all?
So let me say this. Lamar is making the right decision. I don't know if you – okay.
I don't know
if you agree with me or not, but, you know, there are people out there, well, Lamar should have played. It's a playoff game. Fuck you. Fuck you. This team would have cut you – again, these teams cut you in an instant. It doesn't matter how much you have on your contract. They will buy your ass out in a one-time payment, say, get the fuck away from me. These people do not care about you.
Remember what happened to RG3. He risked it all when he knew he should have sat out and his career ended. Literally, yep. Like, even though he played a couple more, but his career ended. After yep. that freshman year, ball out with Andrew Luck, and the both of them balled out, you know, and RG3, that's it. It was over.
Mm-hmm. And look, us the fans, of course. Of course I want to – no offense, Tyler Huntley. Of course I want to see Lamar Jackson play over Tyler Huntley in the playoffs. Of course I want to see that shit.
But well, then maybe you should pay them.
This is maybe a business. Exactly. These dudes need to live to see another day. They need to keep making money. Like, it all, yes, they're making ungodly amounts of money, but, like, this is still a business for them. They still need to go to work tomorrow. They need to figure it out.
Yeah, he could have put a knee brace on and played and probably played well. But then again, in a game that lasts an hour, any given Sunday, Saturday, one plant, one twist, and that's your check. That's your that's your contract. That's your next season. Because if you tear your ACL now, the whole season's gone.
In a contract year, in a contract year, he doesn't have a next season right now per contract. So he tears his ACL right now. Who's spending the money on Lamar
for 2024?
Right. No. I agree with 100% Lamar.
Right. RG3 backed them, and I actually think they spoke on the side, and he was like, yo, bro, your best bet is to sit.
The money from the Jets. Take the money from the Jets. And look, the Jets are monitoring the situation closely. They're at the top of Lamar's list.
Speaking of, yes. It's funny that Lamar does have them, like, number one on his list, which is crazy. Like, granted, he is going to talk to the Ravens in Baltimore. He does have a loyalty to the Ravens in Baltimore. But the fact that it's like 1A, 1B.
Mm-hmm. And look.
Scare Baltimore.
And look, and let's put it from a business standpoint. I highly doubt the Ravens aren't smacking him with a franchise tag. If they can't figure something out, they're hitting him with a franchise tag. You can't convince me that they're going to be like, we love you, Lamar. We're so loyal to you, the player who we couldn't work out a deal with, that we'll just let you go for free. Absolutely not. They're slapping with a franchise tag. If anybody else wants him, they're going to have to pay draft capital. Period. End of story.
It's definitely just a sign and trade or a franchise. Sign and trade mean franchise tag and trade.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no way they let him walk for free. But ultimately, and I know Ravens, you know, sources have come out and said, yeah, we're in talks. We strongly believe we're going to sign him. Da 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 da. I don't see Lamar in Baltimore next season.
He just told you he's not going to be in Baltimore next season. If Lamar wanted to be in Baltimore, he plays that playoff game. To me, if he felt that he was going to make a deal and be able to stay in Baltimore, he plays in that playoff game. But to me, that signals I'm done. I'm not going to risk it for you. I'm not going to risk it for you because you won't give me what I want. You have a fucking rapist in our division getting a fully guaranteed fucking contract, and I've done nothing but win MVPs and bust my ass for you, and you're not going to pay me. Fuck you. Even if I am 100%, go fuck yourself.
I think Lamar Jackson opened his eyes, looked at his team, and was like, as good as the team is and as good as I am, we're never going to win a Super Bowl. No. We just played running back carousel for 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
We just traded away Hollywood Brown to bring in
who? Okay, yeah, I have Mark Andrews, but woohoo.
But you can go to the and I'm only using the Jets because it's the first thing I can go to, but you can go to the Jets with a top 5 defense and a hell of a lot of weapons. You can enter team name here that's in the running for him that probably has a better defense than Baltimore.
Las Vegas. And you
have to play position carousel.
You have Las Vegas, who just had Josh Jacobs go absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, but Raiders also have a very bad defense.
They do, and they have some coaching questions. But I'm just saying, if I'm talking offensive weapons who I want to play with,
Tampa might be available. We don't know what's going on with Tom Brady. Might go to Tampa. You might like the weather and be down there. Who knows what happens with Tua in Miami? Maybe you go down there with Tyreek Hill and Waddle.
You got Arizona, depending on who their new head coach is. The GM of the Titans isn't completely sold on Tannehill, so maybe you have the Titans. I mean,
the Broncos? Because honestly, if, like, let's say Sean Payton goes to the Broncos, I don't see Sean Payton having any loyalty to Russell Wilson.
No. Absolutely not.
He has no loyalty to nobody. It's him and his team. He's going to come in, he's going to clean house.
Mm-hmm. And why wouldn't he? I mean, he didn't sign Russell Wilson's contract. He ain't got shit to do with that. He don't give a fuck. Lamar Jackson can write his ticket to every team except for, like, the Chargers. And even still, that might be a question. The Chiefs. You know what I mean? Like, the guys that have their guys. Jacksonville. He can't write a ticket to Jacksonville. I don't think that. He's not going to write a ticket to New York either. Well, the Giants. He can write a ticket to 90% of teams, though, that don't have their guy. You know what I mean? But
and honestly, as the offseason Vikings, gets closer.
If I'm the Vikings, I consider that conversation. Over Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, but they owe him too much money.
Now fuck that. I don't give a
shit. They owe him too much money. But yeah, and honestly, as we get closer to free agency, as we get closer to the end of the season, as we get closer to, you know, these contract the more it gets discussed, the more I feel like, honestly, even though we've had the discussion and I say, I kind of don't want Lamar in New York because I have ifs and questions about his knee. The way Woody Johnson and the owners came out, I honestly think Lamar is going to be a Jet next season.
Talk to me about that option. An option with Breece Hall, Lamar Jackson, touchdown every
play. Michael Carter.
Boy, touchdown every play.
You got Elijah Moore, who does the same, and Braxton Berrios, who does the same wildcat bullshit that's Debo and these guys do.
Jet sweeping them around, a triple option with a jet sweep?
Who's going to run the fucking ball? You don't know.
Exactly, bro. I'm telling you. Let's move on. We got Monday night, Dallas taking down Tampa 31-14, and it just Dallas had this game in hand from the rip. It was never a question. It was only
a question. Cue the Undertaker theme song.
What?
Cue the Undertaker theme song. Tom Brady just got buried.
Bro, the only, you know, it was Sarah and I sat in disbelief for the entire game because the Cowboys, Dak Prescott fucking went crazy. Had 5 total touchdowns. He answered all the questions people had about him.
He literally did the opposite of what everybody going into this game was like, yeah, Dak's probably going to throw like 2 or 3 interceptions. I think he heard all of that. Mind you, I didn't get to watch the game. I had to go to work. But trust me to believe, I felt like I was in the stadium because Miss Lady over here in the background was nonstop texting me as if the Cowboys just won the damn Super Bowl.
Right? Bro, we sat in disbelief because the Cowboys the entire game had this shit well in hand. I mean, all 14 of the Buccaneers' points came in the second half. They shut him out completely in the first half. First time in Tom Brady's, like, playoff career. By the way, I just want to say Tony Pollard, still the better running back, 15 carries, 77 yards.
Can we talk about some NFL history here? The stats were being recorded in 1932, and it took till 2023 for a kicker to miss 4 field goals in a row.
Holy Jesus. I mean,
Cowboys are so paranoid that they went and signed a free agent kicker just in case for this game.
I would too. I'd be surprised. I wouldn't even have a field goal unit for this game. I'd be like, Christy, look, guys.
So Christy was talking about it today with her aunt. She was like, go for 2 every time.
Yeah. Yep. We're a touchdown team, gentlemen. We're a touchdown and go for 2 team. We play football by 8-6 from now on. 7 is no longer a score that we are able to record.
We're even numbers only.
Even numbers only, baby. You know, that was insane. Even still, though, even with that, at no point did, other than my own paranoia, at no point did a Tom Brady comeback ever feel feasible. Honestly, you never want to actually say that out loud during the game because then the Tom Brady comeback becomes feasible. But
honestly, Brady looked different in this game. When he came out and, like, after the game and everything, like, Brady always, when he went into games and shit, kind of looked like he never aged or anything. He looked like a 75-year-old man. You could see the grays, you could see the wrinkles, you could see the depression, the sadness, and the way he left the field, 100% he's retiring. I 100% think he's retiring.
2 points to that and Tom Brady's age. A, Tom Brady, for the first time in his career, fell victim to the commentator's curse. Their first drive, they're in the red zone, and the commentators bring up the fact that since he's been with Tampa Bay, he has not thrown 1 single red zone interception. that he has never with Tampa since he signed there thrown a red zone
interception. He threw an Aaron Rodgers-like interception in the red zone.
I even turned to Sarah at that moment. I'm like, they did the thing. They said the thing. It's going to happen now. He throws an interception. She's like, no, he's not going to do it. I'm like, no, but they did the thing. You don't say that. When a pitcher pitches a perfect game, they don't talk about the perfect game. They talked about the perfect game. And sure as shit, he throws the interception. So that's the first time in, like, Tom Brady's career that he's fell victim to a commentator's curse, number one. And number two, you're right. After the game, you know who he reminded me of? He looked like Brett Favre in his final season with the Vikings. Towards the end of that season, when he played against Green Bay in the cold, and he kept getting sacked, and he just looked like he wasn't having fun anymore, and he didn't want to be here anymore. That's the vibe Tom Brady gave me in the post-game press.
But then on top of that, the way he left the field, he went to his parents were on the field. They never are on the field. Mm. His parents are never on the field. His parents were on the field. Disgusting. Stop kissing your fucking grown ass parents and your 13 and 15 year old fucking children in the fucking lips. You're a fucking pedophile. You're disgusting. You're every name in the book is just fucking weird, bro. Are you a swinger or something?
Stop with your own parents.
Stop kissing your mother and father in the lips with tongue and then going to your fucking teenage kids and kissing them on the fucking mouth. Like, yeah. You're gay.
Gay. That is some wild shit. I've, you know, like, we all made the jokes about Tom Brady kissing his son, but wow.
I get the kissing your son or daughter on the lips up until, like, age 3.
No, I still don't even get that. I've never understood that, ever. I've never understood kissing anybody but someone that you're boning.
I get it as an infant and a baby and stuff, and especially if it's a daughter, but, like, after a certain age, you cut it out.
I mean, like, I definitely agree with that.
Or something, but like, what the fuck are you doing?
Knuckles, we're head bumps. I don't know.
And then his interview, his post conference interview. The way he answered those questions and the way he spoke about the organization and
it
seemed like a goodbye.
Yes. Yeah, he's done in Tampa. Regardless of whether he retired, he is not returning to the Bay Area. He's not going back to Tampa Bay. But period, end of story. But I agree with your original statement. I think he's done. I think this is it for him.
When was the last time you seen Brady get with a first round loss? Like, never. Like, literally never.
In such dominant fashion either. Like I said, at no point did it ever feel real that Tom Brady could come back and win this.
Like, he is home right now watching the playoff games in an empty household with no wife and kids. He's sad and depressed right now.
Yeah, you sold out on your personal life to go one and done against the Cowboys. Woof. Not a great look there, Thomas. You know, Giselle was sitting in the background sipping her Prosecco going, ha-ha, bitch.
Not only are you, like, ending your career, but you ended your career against the Cowboys, and you're giving all the fans false hope as if the Cowboys are actually going to win the Super Bowl.
Which is a fantastic segue to start talking about this weekend's games. We're in the divisional round. We've made plenty of references to who we think is going to win, but we'll put it down on the record here. We're obviously right now it's halftime for the Jags Chiefs game in Kansas City. We've got the Chiefs right now up 17-10. I haven't been able to watch the game, but to my knowledge, through my Twitter popping up on my iPad here and stuff, Patrick Mahomes is out indefinitely. We don't know if he's returning for this game. Anything is possible, as Chad Henne just led a 98-yard, 12-play touchdown drive to go up to 17-7, and then Jacksonville inevitably scored that field goal. Does Patrick Mahomes change this for you? You said the Chiefs were going to win. I agree that the Chiefs are going to win. If Patrick Mahomes doesn't play another snap in this game, does that change your opinion?
Very, very, like very small. Very small amount of change with him leaving. They said it's a sprained ankle. Nothing crazy. He was even on the sideline saying he's good. Like, he'll play, It's playoffs. You should. Sprain ankle? Fucking lose your ankle. I don't care. Play.
I love how that was a complete switch from Lamar Jackson. Yeah, go ahead and sit down to Patrick Mahomes. I don't give a fuck about your ankle. Come back, bitch.
Lamar, see, that's the difference. Like you said, Lamar's fighting for a contract. That man has $500 million.
He's got his contract. No, I get you.
$500 million.
No, I get you.
Go play. Go play and smack that shit in three.
You got the contract that Lamar is playing for. You'll be all right.
Very small change. I still got the Chiefs winning. It'll be interesting next week if they win this game.
So here's honestly, yeah, it doesn't move the needle for me. Chiefs still win. Chiefs still win by like 10 to me. It doesn't really move the needle because we've seen Chad Henne come in this situation and run that offense just fine. You know, obviously he's not as athletic as Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to pretend that he is, but he runs that offense capably, very capably. So it doesn't move the needle for me at all. Doug Peterson is a fantastic coach. You know, so I'm sure he's going to try and do everything he can to take advantage of Mahomes not being there. But this doesn't move the needle for me. Arrowhead is a hell of a place to play. And honestly, I've got some friends that are at the game that are probably can't even speak. They've been screaming so much right now. So,
honestly, if even with Chad Henne, just don't fuck up. Give the ball to Kelce and McKinnon and them guys. Let them make the plays. And just, you're already up by 10. Just don't fuck up.
Just got the tweet, Mahomes to start the second half. So this is a moot conversation, and the Chiefs win pretty easily.
Just walked out on the field.
There you go. Later on tonight, we've got the divisional matchup. All of Eastern Pennsylvania and all of Lower New York has been waiting for. We've got the Giants.
I guarantee you, New York and Philly fans have been drinking since like 8 o'clock this morning.
Oh my God, bro! I was at work last night, and I had multiple people approach me. They're like, "Hey, you trying to come in early tonight so I can leave?" And I was like, "I can't. Still on training, unfortunately." And they're like, "Oh, I wanted to watch the Giants game, the Eagles game." I'm like, well,
me too. So do I.
So that's to suck, buddy. I'm not getting locked up for that shit. Philly's favored by 8 here. Giants by 4.
I love it.
Giants by 4.
I love it. To go back to the last game, I didn't say my prediction. I did take KC by 10 as well. I'm taking New York by 7.
Okay. I'm
taking New York by 7. I really think this is going to be, again, one of the better games we see. And it literally all comes down to how well Danny Dimes play.
Agreed. Yeah, I think I have enough faith in Dable. The needle has moved for me. I don't know. You know, we've seen the Giants. We've seen the wild card Giants be a completely different animal in the playoffs. I mean, you've got these nobody receivers playing well. Got this nobody tight end playing well. Saquon Barkley's going fucking crazy. The Giants defense is playing well. I think the stars are starting to align for them. And I like the Giants by 4. It really just comes down to
that. I'm actually going to change mine because earlier today I did pick the Giants by 4. I predicted 28-24 New York. So I'm taking New York by 4.
All right. Tomorrow,
Jalen Hurts does have a tender throwing shoulder. So let's see how good and aggressive Leonard Williams and Thibodeau goes on putting that man on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to definitely be after them for sure. For sure. We start off tomorrow hot and heavy, 3 p.m. Buffalo hosting Cincy. Buffalo is favored by 6. I'm hoping, as an NFL fan, this is like a bet the over. Whatever the over is, I'm hoping it's the over. I'm hoping for like a 100-point combined total game. I'm hoping for 462 overtimes. I'm hoping for everything and more in this game. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good game. You've got Josh Allen. You've got Stephon Diggs. Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, who still would have won me my championship. Just saying, not bitter or anything. So it's gonna be a tough one. What's the weather like in Buffalo tomorrow?
It could change within the hours.
Yeah, true that. It is Buffalo, yeah. It's supposed to be 33 degrees and clear as of right now. Over under is 49, bet the over.
I picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl, so I'm sticking with the Bills by 3.
Give me Cincy. Give me Cincy by 4 because they're going to play the Chiefs in a neutral site, and it's just going to fucking send the NFL world into a blaze. And I want to be here for the chaos. So give me Cincy by 4. I like that. And then we end it. 6:30, Dallas, San Fran, in San Fran. San Fran favored by 4. I already know where you're going because I know what you've said last week. I know what you've hinted toward this week. I want to be contradictory. I want to say they've been playing crazy and that this is their year, but I have zero. And the Cowboys were in control of that game 100% in all phases except for Brett Maher. Just controlled that game from start to finish, never let up, never gave it away, never showed any inclination of decline. But San Fran has just been playing crazy good football. Crazy good football. And I really want to say, because I'm a Dak fan. I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm a Dak fan. And I really want Dak to shut up my father-in-law, to be very specific. and I want Tony Pollard to go absolutely insane and shut up all the Ezekiel idiots. It's very hard for me to pull that trigger, though.
I don't know where I'm going. I'm taking the 49ers by 6. Good run for the Cowboys. I'm glad you knocked out playoff Tom Brady and playoff Lenny. Any playoffs with no Tom Brady solidifies a Super Bowl with no Tom Brady. So I'm thankful because at the same time, two birds with one stone, right? You knock him out from the playoffs and you make him retire. I love it. But I think it ends here for the Cowboys. I think as well as they've been playing, the 49ers are just playing on a different level. And they're not letting Purdy dictate anything. He just exists in the offense. But he does not dictate anything.
So you're saying you don't want to see an all NFC East championship? That'd be cool.
That'd be wild. You know the Super Bowl might come out of the NFC East. That'd be wild. You could have a Giants-Eagles NFC or a Giants a Giants-Cowboys or a Eagles-Cowboys NFC. That's wild.
Oh, I can't believe I'm doing this. Give me the Cowboys by 7.
That is so depressing. I thought you were going to go to the Niners. Look, I already pre-started writing. Look at this. I started pre-fucking writing, and you making me change it. You said boys
by 6. Oh, my God. I feel sick to my stomach.
6?
By 7, but I feel sick to my stomach. Boys, I can't believe I just did 7. That.
I mean, my God. Took them last week. You take them this week. Let's see who holds the curse.
I can't believe I just fucking said that. Oh, I don't feel good about this.
So the best part of this? If it's not the 49ers in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl's coming out of the AFC. And we've been saying it's coming out of the AFC all season, but
no,
if it's not the Niners in the Super Bowl, it's pretty much a lock that it's an AFC championship.
Oh, I agreed wholeheartedly. 100%. If the Dallas Cowboys knock out the Niners, then it's over for the NFC. You know, the last great hope is gone. But oh God, I just don't feel great about that. I'm gonna stand on it, and I'm not a bitch. Papa didn't raise no bitch. We're staying there, but golly, I don't know what I was thinking. Ugh.
We'll find out.
Anyway, with that being said, you know, we'll find out everything by the end of tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be riding my ass if I fucking completely swung and missed on that one. KC's up 17-10. Let's see how it goes. And that's all we got for today, man.
Hey, we're coming down to the wire. Sadly, football's ending. And then, you know, we won't be talking about as much football until you know, we start seeing some free agent moves. And all that jazz, but we will, you know, after February 12th, probably take a good 2 months before we start hearing any real rumbling. Mm-hmm. But we'll have plenty of stuff to talk about otherwise. And I mean, the season went by quick this year. God damn.
Yeah, it did. And if you want Super Bowl boxes, let us know. Email us breakingdownthetape@yahoo.com. Let us know on any of our social medias. We've got 40 or so left.
34-ish boxes left. 25 per. 6 chances to win. Plus merch from Breaking Down the Tape. You can also donate a box. If you don't want a box for yourself, you can donate a box to a charity or organization of your choosing. And the winnings, if they hit, will go straight to that charity.
100%. We had somebody, I think it was your mother, ironically enough, last year who like 2 quarters and won $700 or something
and to that didn't effect. Bless me with a fucking penny. I didn't even get like a, oh, you know, $20 for telling me about Super Bowl boxes and getting me into this. Because trust me, before we were in like week 8, and my mom's like, yo, what's up with those Super Bowl boxes? Mom, I'm not starting that till playoffs. Mom, I'm not starting it, but I want to win. But you know what? I want to win too, and you didn't give me no fucking money last year. So
yeah, I ain't telling you shit, woman. That's fantastic. So guys, let us know what you think. Who's gonna move on? Who's not? Let us know if you want a Super Bowl box. That's all I got for you.
Shout out to Flash Cat one more time. Get yourself a fun button. Is that what I said?